Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Kuf Mem Vav. We stopped in the middle of Kuf Mem Hey just because I got cut off, and I didn't want to go back and re-record because I was already about 15 minutes in. So I'm just going to try to get everything done in this recording. Okay, new Mishnah. Kol Shabbat b'chamin me'erev Shabbat shorin to b'chamin b'Shabbat v'chol shelo b'chamin me'erev Shabbat b'zichon to b'chamin b'Shabbat chutz min hamilach yashan v'adag agim hamuluchim k'tanim v'kuliyah so yispanim v'yidachtan zo yigmar malchtan. Okay, so what we said is anything that was heated up before Shabbat, meaning anything cooked before Shabbat, you're allowed to reheat it on Shabbat. But something that wasn't cooked before Shabbat, you're not allowed to reheat it. You're not allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbat. You're allowed to wash it with something hot on Shabbat, except for when it comes to different types of fish that are very, very easily cooked, because just rinsing them with hot water is gemar malachatan, right? So in our terminology, something that's cooked erev Shabbat, you're allowed to reheat. Something that's not cooked, you're not allowed to reheat in the proper fashion. You're allowed to wash with hot water unless it is kale habishal, right? So that's referring to, let's say, you can for our purposes, you'd be allowed to, in theory, cook something in a kli sheni that was not yet cooked. You're allowed to pour hot water, let's say, from a kli rishon onto something that was not yet cooked, but you'd not be allowed to do so on something that's very, very easily cooked, because that is the gemar malacha of those things, right? So that's kind of just it translated into the practical terminology that we know today. But the whole concept of kli sheni really comes from this Mishnah. Kli shlishi, it doesn't really appear anywhere, but that's... that's a different story. It's based on Machloket, Rishonim. Okay, Gemara. Kagon Mai. Now, what are we talking about? What type of thing which is cooked Erev Shabbat is allowed to be recooked on Shabbat? Amar Rav Safra, Kagon Tarnagot, the Rabbi Abba. This is regarding to the chicken of Rabbi Abba. The Amar Rav Safra, Zimna Chada Iklat Lahatam, Vauchlin Minevi, Ilo Rabbi Abba Dashkin, Chamra Bar Tlata Tarfe, Itnasi. Right? So we went to Rabbi Abba's house and we got fed this chicken, and it was so disgusting that if it wasn't for the fact that we drank very nice wine together with it, if it wasn't for the fact that we drank very nice wine together with it, I would have had to vomit. Now, there's actually a machloket rishonim as to why this chicken was so bad, and that has major halachic implications. One says that it was overcooked, and therefore you know that you're only allowed to reheat something that was cooked the entire way. According to the Ramban, I think he says that it's undercooked, and therefore you're allowed to reheat things even that have not been fully cooked, as long as they are a third cooked, they reach machal ben drusoy. Okay, anyway, that's just a little bit of halachic background. Rabbi Yochanan raik mikutach debadli. Rabbi Yochanan similarly was made sick by Kutach HaBavli, this dip that was made in Bavel. He would spit at the thought of it. Rabbi Yosef Lirok Anan Mitarnagol to the Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Yosef says, yeah, we spit at the thought of this chicken by Rabbi Abba. It's disgusting. Ve'od Amar Rav Gaza, similar to Rav Gaza, said, Zimna Chada Iklait Lahatam Vavidet Kutach HaBavli She'ilumine Kol Berichei Ma'arava. He says, well, one time we brought Kutach HaBavli to Eretz Yisrael, and all the sick people were lining up just to eat it. So it's not everyone in Eretz Yisrael who can't stand the Kutach HaBavli. Kol Shelo B'Chamin. So more comments on the Mishnah. Hediach Mai. What if you were madiach these fish that could be cooked very easily? I'm Rabbi Yosef. Hidiach chayv chatar. Well, if you did so, you're chayv chatar. I'm Rabbi Ravina. Af ananamit anina chutz milech hayashim v'kuliyah so yispanim metach she hadachatan zo yigmar machtan shema mina. Because we also teach that it is usur, even at the oraita level, to cook with hadacha, meaning pouring water from a kli rishon, basically in our terminology, onto these fish, because that's properly cooking, and that's usur deoraita of bishul on Shabbat. Yativ Rabbi Chiya Barab, Rabbi Asi, Kamei Rabbi Yochanan, Yativ Rabbi Yochanan, Kamei Namne. Right, so they're sitting before each other, and Rabbi Yochanan is kind of dozing off. Amar Lei Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Asi Mipnei Ma'of, which is Bavel Shemenim. Why are? I ask the following question, just kind of keeping engaged. Why are the birds in Bavel fat? Amar Lei Kilach LaMidbar Aza Varech Shemenim Mehim. Just go to the Midbar Aza. I'll show you fatter birds. I mean, the birds we have here aren't so fat. They're fat birds in Israel too. Mipnei Ma Moadim Shebavel Shemenim. And why are the Moadim? Why are the Yomim Tovim in Moed in Bavel so happy? Mipnei Shem Anim, because they're very poor. This is the only time they can really eat. And why are the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, why do they dress so nicely? Because they don't really know what they're talking about, but if they dress nicely, people respect them. And why is it that the non-Jews are impure? Because they eat disgusting creatures that are usher for us to eat. At that point, Rabbi Yochanan kind of wakes up from his snoozing. He says, children, I didn't say to you, rehu ve'im lav lo tam rehu, right? Didn't I teach you that that you're supposed to say to your you're supposed to make wisdom like your sister, meaning only speak your mind if something is as clear to you as the fact that your sister is usher to you. It's a little bit of a weird expression, but that's what he means, that that before you speak your mind and say mutter usher, you're supposed to be very, very confident in what you're saying, and what you just said makes no sense, meaning you don't know what you're talking about, right? So I'll give you the real answers as to all your questions. Amar lei v'le milan mar is mehen. So okay, so you, Rabbi Yochanan, can you answer those questions? Right? Why are they fat? Because they were never exiled. They never traveled away from Bavel. Right? The birds in Bavel always stay there. Shenamar shanan moav minuura v'shoket hu el shamrav begol el lohalach. Right? So they didn't go anywhere in galut. So the birds stayed around, and that's why they're so fat. V'hanach minalan degalut. How do you know that the birds in Eretz Yisrael were exiled? Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer chamishim mishtaim shana lo avar ish Yehuda. 52 years the person didn't pass through Yehuda. Shenamar el haharim esa bechi v'nehi me'of hashemayim v'ad behema nadadu halchu. Right, so whether animals, whether the birds of the sky or the animals of the ground, they didn't pass through there for 52 years. Behema gematria chamishim v'tartin havo. Right, behema and gematria is 52, and that's how we get that how much time passed when people and animals and birds did not pass through 52 years. So that's why they're not fat, because they were exiled, but the birds in Bavel were never exiled. Amar Yehuda, Amar Yochanan, kulan chazru chutz mikulasa espinan. Right, and everyone came back except for the kulias espinan. All the fish came back there still, except for the kulias. Why? The Amar Rav hani Midre de Bavel mehadre mayel le'ain etam v'hai kevan de lo sharir shadre lo matzi salik. Basically, they couldn't come back because the waters flow upward to Eretz Yisrael, and the kulias doesn't have the spine to swim upstream, and therefore they were never able to make it back to Eretz Yisrael. Bnei ma moadim shebavel smechem. Okay, so the second question: why are the moadim in Bavel so happy? Bnei shelo hayu ba'ota klala. Right, because they weren't under the following curse. Tichti v'ishbeti kol misosa chaga chadsha v'shabta v'chol moada. Right, so basically, this is the curse that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, that the happy times will turn into that the happy times will cease, and the Mo'adim will be hated to him. My hayu alai l'torach. What does it mean that they will be like that the Mo'adim will be like a burden to him? I'm Rabbi Yezer. I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo dayan l'Israel shechotin lefanai ela shematrichen oti liyeda ezek zera kasha avilem. It's not enough that the Klal Yisrael is sitting before me, but they also are burdening me to decide how I'm supposed to punish them. Amri Yitzchak, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel shloba bata boleshet letzipori. There's not a single festival where soldiers wouldn't raid Tzipori to collect taxes. V'amar b'chanina, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel shelo ba l'tiveria agmon v'katmon ba'al zmora. Those are all types of officers who would come to collect taxes. Basically, in Eretz Yisrael, the regalim, the mo'adim, became a very particularly bad, negative time, because they're under a curse that the happy times would from Israel would cease, and that our mo'adim were hated by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? But since Bavel wasn't under that curse, so Bavel's mo'adim were allowed to continue to be very happy. Okay, next question. Why is it the Tamir Chachamim in Bavel dress so nicely? Because they're not home. Damri Inchi B'mata Shamai below Mata Tutavai. Right, in my home, I just need my name. You know, people know me. In my home, I stick out because of who I am, my reputation. But if I'm not in my home, then I need to dress nicely so people. I need my hat. Meaning, I need my nice attire. Abayim Mishereish Yaakov Yatzit Ufarach Yisrael. Right. The Gemara then goes on to actually praise the people in the Talmid Chachamim in Bavel, right, to say that that the Habaim Yisharesh Yaakov Yitzitz V'rach Yisrael, right, is that the those who will come will bud like a flower. Tanar Yosef El Talmid Chachamim Shebavel She'osin Tzitzin Brachim L'Torah. Right, these are the Talmid Chachamim in Bavel. What does it mean that the Bnei Yaakov will be like a flower and bud? Those are Talmid Chachamim in Bavel who dress very, very nicely, and they bring beauty to Torah. Bipnei Ma Goyim Zomim. And why is it that non-Jews are Tamei? Shelo Amdu Al Har Sinai, because they weren't at Har Sinai. Shebishah Shebah Nachash Al Chava Hitil Ba'Zuama, because when the snake in Bereishit came upon Chava, it made, you know, all human beings disgusting and impure to a certain degree. Israel shamdu al harsinai paskus zematan, but when Klal Yisrael stood at Harsinai, that ceased from them. Goyim shlo amdu al harsinai lo paskus zematan, but the non-Jews who didn't stand at Harsinai, that never happened to them. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava lo Ravashi gerim mayim. What about non-Jews who weren't at Harsinai? Amar le afal gav de inu lo havu mazleu havu. Even they weren't there. Their mazel, in a sense, they were there in spirit, basically. Dichtiv et asher yishnopo imano amid hayom lufnei Hashem elokeinu et asher enenopo, meaning that both us who are standing here before HaKadosh Baruch Hu today, and those who are not with us. What do you mean those who are not with us? Who isn't with us that you would like to include in Ma'amad Har Sinai? So those are the goyim whose mazal was with them. Alternatively, those are the future generations whose mazel was with them. That's, I think, that's the midrash that the dating website Saw You at Sinai comes from, that we were all there. Upligi de Rabbi Abba Bar Kana, de Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kana, ad shalosh dorot lo paskezu umam avotenu. Right? It took three generations for the tuma to be completely negated within our avot. Avram halid Yishmael, because Avram had Yishmael, Yitzhak halid Esav, Yitzhak had Esav, Yaakov halid shnei masar shvatim shalai ben shum dofi. Right? But Yaakov had 12 children who didn't have any pegamim, who didn't have any impurity. Matni metnitin kenu mishnah shover adam etachavit lechol heimen agrugorot bevad shalo yad kaven lasod kli. You're allowed to break open a barrel to eat the dates in them, as long as you don't intend to make the barrel into a functional vessel. The endokvin megufa shel chavit. You're not allowed to piece. You're not allowed to pierce it from the side of the barrel. If Rabbi Huda, it's Rabbi Huda Shita. Chachamim Matirin, V'lo Yikvein Mitzira. Sorry, the Rabbi Huda says you're not allowed to pierce the body of the barrel itself. Rather, you have to go up from the top. The Chachamim say you're allowed to pierce the body as long as you don't pierce it from the side. To explain a little bit better. Rabbi Huda believes that you have to pierce it from the seal itself, meaning there's a plug put in there, you're allowed to pierce the plug itself, but you're not allowed to pierce the actual barrel. The Chachamim say that you're allowed to pierce the actual barrel, but you're not allowed to pierce the side of the barrel, rather from the top. What if it was already pierced beforehand? Lo yitin alei shava. You can't put wax on it to seal it up, because that is memarech, smoothening something out. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, it's in Malacha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, maseh balafnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be'erev, amar choshani lo mechatat. That exact thing happened before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he says, "I'm concerned that he's actually chayav achata for doing so." Amar Biyosha kegemara. Amar Biyosha lo shano ela druso deval mefurado lo. Right? When are you allowed to open up the barrel if they're all pressed together? It's like a massive fig cake. However, if they were spread apart, you're not allowed to. Right? And the svara there is, if you pick up the kli to open up the barrel, the kli can only be used for its proper function. Right? Opening up the barrel is not its normal function, but what is its normal function? Separating fig cakes. So you're allowed to pick up the kli in order to break the barrel, because you're then going to use the kli while still in your hand to separate the fig cakes. But if they're already separated, you don't need to separate them, but you can't pick up the kli just to open up the barrel. Farther lobe, is it really the case that you're not allowed to open up the barrel if the figs are separate from each other? You're allowed to bring a person a barrel full of wine and cut off the top of the barrel with a sword. And then you could put it before guests on Shabbat, and you have no concern whatsoever. Clearly, you're allowed to pick up this sword just to pierce the barrel and nothing else, right? Yeah, that's Rabbanan Shita, that you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to pick up the sword and just to open up the barrel. But we were teaching, the Mishnah is taught in accordance with Rabbi Nechemiah's Shita, says that you're not allowed to pick up a kli just to open up the barrel. Well, why did Rabbi Oshia explain our Mishnah? What forced Rabbi Yoshia to say that our Mishnah must be following Rabbi Nechemiah's Shita, and it must be talking about dates that were stuck together? Just look maybe before the Rabbanan. Just to say it was the Rabbanan, and it was talking about any type of dates, even that they were scattered. Amarava matnita kshite, because he had a difficulty with the Mishnah itself. Why would you davka teach figs? Just teach any type of fruit. Why be so specific when it comes to figs? That's what he was wondering. Rather, it was teaching figs davka, because figs also come in a form of fig cakes when they're pressed together. That must be why the Mishnah was medayik in figs, because we're talking about figs, which are generally pressed together, whereas all fruit, which are generally scattered. That's why, in order to explain why the Mishnah was so medayik to davka do grugrot, to davka talk about figs, it must be because they're stuck together, and that's why he taught that it was stuck together. And then he had to teach that it was Rabbi Nechemiah Shita, because the Rabbanan, it wouldn't work according to their Shita. Tanya Chada, so one bright thought. Right, so baskets of dried figs or dates, you're allowed to untie the basket, and you're allowed to even unbraid the basket. Right, or you're allowed to unbraid it, and you're allowed to just cut it. Right, the other bright that teaches that you're allowed to untie it, but you're not allowed to unbraid it, and you're not allowed to cut it. Lokasha, and that's not difficult. How Rabbanan, how Rabbi Nechemia. Right, the same can be explained by suggesting that one is Rabbanan Shita and one is Rabbi Nechemia Shita. The Tanya, as we in a bright, Rabbi Nechemiah Omer afilu tarvad vafilu talit vafilu sakin ein notin ela tzorach tashmishan. Right, so Rabbi Nechemiah teaches explicitly that when it comes to a spoon or a cloak or a knife, three things that you think of a pretty common purpose on Shabbat, you can pick them up for any reason. No, says Rabbi Nechemiah, you can only pick them up for their most classic designated function. Right, and therefore you're not allowed to pick up a kli to open up a barrel if that kli is not generally used for the barrel. Only if what's inside the barrel, like fig cakes, needs that kli for its normal function. That's clearly Rabbi Nechemiah Shita, the Rabbanan argue, and that's why they have those two machloket that we mentioned, that are each one goes to Lishitato. Are you allowed to pierce a barrel with a spear on Shabbat? Right, they make like a perforation, a small hole. Lefitcha kamechaven va'asir odima le'ein yafe kamechaven mishare. Meaning, does he mean to make an entrance, like a spout of some sort, right? Something that allows the food to come in and out. In which case, that would be asir because you're making a functional petach, right? You're making a proper opening in the barrel itself, and that's going to be problematic. Or you don't intend to make a proper opening, asiyat petach yafe. That's not your intention. Rather, you just want to show that you're generous, right? You want to make a nice large opening to say that basically, and you can come and take from all of it, right? If you make a small hole, then people are going to think, oh, you only want to take out a little bit at a time for us. But if you just open the entire thing, you clearly want to say, you come and take all of it, I don't need any leftovers, right? And then it'll be permissible because your intention is not to make a proper petach. Amarle lepitcha kamakavin va'aser. Clearly, he intends to make a proper petach with his spear by perforating it, and it's going to be aser. Meitive, challenge that sheet that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer mevi adam chavit shel yayin umatis rosh v'saif, that you can bring a sword and open it up and open up the cut off the top of the barrel with that sword. Hatam vadai la'ayin yafe makamachavin. You cut off the entire top of the barrel with a sword. Clearly, you intend not to use this wine for anything else, and you want to say that you can drink as much as you want. Hachayimita de'inyan yafe kamachavin lefitcha miftach. Right, but there, but by the previous brayta that we mentioned, if you really, really wanted to show that you want everyone to take a lot and you just intend to be generous, then open it up properly. Why are you perforating it with a spear? Cut it open with a sword, kvar, if you want to let everyone take. Ein nokvi megufa, right? So we said that you're allowed to pierce. You're allowed to pierce the seal, but you can't pierce the body of the barrel itself. Amar Rav Huna, machlok lemala aval minatzad divrei hakol aser. There's a machloket when it comes to piercing it on top. That's where the machloket is. Can you pierce the seal on top, or can you pierce the barrel on top? But when it comes to the side, everyone agrees that you can't pierce the barrel itself. V'hainu dekatani lo yikuvenu mitzida. And that explains what we taught in the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to pierce it from the side. Rav Chizda amar machloket minatzad aval al gaba divrei hakol mutar. No, the machloket only exists when it comes to the side. Everyone agrees that on top you can pierce it whatever you want. V'hainu dekatani lo yikuvenu mitzida hata megufa dechavi. Right, and where you taught me that you cannot pierce it from the side, that's talking about megufa dechavin. However, if there's a seal on the side, then they have a proper machloket as to whether or not you can break it open at the seal from the side. Tan Rabbanan, ein nokvin nekev chadash b'Shabbat. Right, you're not allowed to make a new petach on Shabbat. Vim ba'al hosif mosif. But if you want to add on to an existing petach, then you're allowed to add on. V'yesh omrim ein mosifin v'shabin shenokvin nekev yashin lechatchila. Right, there are those who say you're even not allowed to add on, but everyone agrees that if you have an opening that was already made, you're allowed to reopen it. V'tanakama. According to the Tanakh Kama, right, what is the difference there between a new nekev, a new hole that you're not allowed to make, while an old hole you're allowed to re-break open? Functionally, it's the same thing now, right? Because here you're fixing the opening. Osofi nami kametaken pitcha. Okay, but if you add on to the opening that exists, you're also fixing the opening in a way. You're saying this opening isn't big enough, and I want to fix it. I want to make it bigger. I'm a rabba devar Torah kol petach sheino asur leikanes lahotzi eino petach. No, because actually, on a Torah level, any petach, any opening that is not big enough both to extract and to put in is not considered a petach for our purposes of being chayav on Shabbat. Rabbanon hu degazer mishum lul sultarnegolin, and where we said you're not allowed to create this small opening that you could take out but you couldn't put back in, clearly it's not an asur deraita. Rather, it's asur derabanan, and there were goes there because they didn't want you to do the same for a chicken coop, which people would generally pierce for the sake of getting the hot air out. The avid liyule avira lapuke havla, right? That they would do kind of for ventilation. V'im bala hosif mosif. But if he wants to add on to the opening, he'd be allowed to. Osofi vadai belul shotarne golem lo ati lo sufe. And the reason the rabanan were never goes there by adding on is because you weren't going to come to do that by a chicken coop. Meaning, when it comes to making a hole that is big enough to let things out but not to let things back in, that was actually never asur deraita. That was only ever asur derabanan. They made a gzeira because of the lul shel tarnegolim, a chicken coop. They didn't want you to do that too. However, when it comes to adding on to the petach, again, we're talking about a petach that would only be asur derabanan if it were asur at all. And we said that there's no gzeira mit derabanan because you weren't going to come to add on to the hole by the chicken coop, so we have no reason to make a gzeira. Right? Because you don't want disgusting things coming into the chicken coop. Yesh omrim ein mosifin those who say you're not allowed to add on at all, zimnin de lo takne meikarav ati le aruchebe, right? Because there are some times where you didn't do it properly in the first place, and you're trying to really fix it and do it properly for the first time. The Rosh of Nachman mishum Rabbi Yochanan halacha yesh omrim. The halacha is like the yesh omrim who say that you're not allowed to add on. V'shavin shenokim v'nekem v'yashan lechachila, right? And but everyone agrees that you're allowed to reopen a nekev that was, you have to reopen in a sealed up hole. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela b'makom asui l'shamer, aval chazak asur. It's only if it was a hole that was sealed up, where the hole was made to filter out the wine when you pour it, but not a hole that was made, or not a hole that was closed up in order to strengthen the barrel. Hechidam l'shamer, hechidam l'chazak. How do I know if the hole was made to filter out the wine, or if the hole was made to strengthen the barrel? Amar Rav Chizda, l'mala mini yain zeu l'shamer, l'mata the yain zeu l'chazak. Well, if it was above the wine, it's clear not to strengthen the barrel, so that's when you came to filter the wine. But if it's below, but if it's at the wine level, then that was done to strengthen the barrel. Rava Amar Lamata Mina Yain Nami Zeu L'Shamer. According to Rava, even if it was underneath though the line of the wine, still it was done to filter it. And so how do I know what is the case where it was done to strengthen the barrel? Right, that's when it was pierced beneath even the sediment of the wine. That is when it's done to be mechazik. So Abaye says to Rava, there is a bright that supports your shita. Right, so basically, how are these going to support them? It's better if we understand ahead of time how this is going to support a shita, because we're talking about an opening that was destroyed, whether it's still considered an opening, an opening that was closed up, if it's still considered an opening, right? Bait satum, so a closed up home, yesh lo arba amot. When it comes to dividing, if there's a courtyard with a lot of houses open to it, so you divide the courtyard evenly between each house, but each house gets its four amot, gets dalad amot from their entrance, and it even gets its entrance even if the house itself was sealed up. Parats et pitzimab, ein lo arba amot. But if you broke the entrance altogether, meaning if you had an entrance and it was sealed up and you could just break it open, then you still get your dalad amot, because we still consider it an entrance even though it was sealed up. However, if you broke the door posts altogether, then you don't get arba amot anymore. But what we see from there is that even a sealed up entrance is still considered like an entrance. Bait satum ein metame kol svivav, paretz et petzimav metame kol svivav. Right? And similarly, a house that is sealed up that has tame can still be metame the surrounding areas. However, if you broke the doorposts entirely, it can't be metame the surrounding areas, right? So if you just seal up an entrance, we still consider it like the entrance is there. Guvta. So when it comes to, basically, it would put these reeds in the holes in the barrel in order so that they'll pour more properly. Rav Aser, Shmuel Shari. Rav says, you can't put the reed there. Shmuel says, you're allowed to. Everyone agrees, by the way, that cutting the reed in order to cutting it open to put the reed there is going to be Aser. Ahadure de chuli amalo pligi de shari, and if the reed was already there and it fell out, everyone agrees you're allowed to put it back in. Ki pligi de chaticha velumetakna, right? Where they have the machloket is when you cut the place for the reed, but you just didn't put it there in the first place. Manda aser gazrin adil maati lumitach lechachila. The one says that it's aser to put it there says that maybe you're going to come to put it there lechachila even if you didn't make the hole before Shabbat. Manda shari lo gazrin, right? And the one says you're allowed to put it there says no, we don't make strict zera. Kitanai, and that actually accords with the following Tanaik dispute. In chotchin shuferet abiyomtov. You're not allowed to cut a tube on Yom Tov, and obviously you're not allowed to cut the tube on Shabbat. This is a tube that is used to get the wine out of the barrel, so it's for food purposes, and that's why you had the half a minute that you'd be allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Nafla machzir natav Shabbat. But if it fell out, you're allowed to put it back on Shabbat, and obviously on Yom Tov, right? And obviously on Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to put it back on as well, because it was already there. Rabbi Yoshaya Mekel. And Rabbi Yoshaya is Mekel. Rabbi Yoshaya Ahaya, Ilema Aresha Hakametakin Mana, right? Which, when Rabbi Yoshaya is Mekel, what's he going on? Is he going on the Tanakama Shita, or is he going on the second shita? So he can't be going on the reisha, because then you're metakin mana, right? You're piercing the barrel for the first time with the reed. That's metakin mana. You're fixing something. You're creating something new. Ela seifa, right? Rather, he must be commenting on the seifa. Tanakama nami mishri kashari. One second. But how is he commenting on the seifa if the seifa also says that it's going to be mutter? So he's commenting. He's more what's being more makel than saying that it's mutter? Ela dechaticha velo metakna ika binayhu. Rather, what's the difference between Rabbi Yishai Shita, who's makel, and the Tanakama Shita, who also says it's mutter? What's the difference between them? And when it comes to a case, dechaticha velo mitakna ikabenayo, right? You already cut it. You already cut it, but you never put it in there in the first place. Marasever gezrina, marasever lo gezrina, right? So one holds that we make a gzera if you cut it, but you didn't put it in yet. We make a gzera that maybe you're going to come to put it there lechachila. And the other says, no, we don't make such a gzera. If you already cut it, you have to put it there even for the first time, right? So that is how this machloket tanaim, according to the earlier machloket that we mentioned. In darash rav shisha, the rav idi, mishmei the rabbi yochanan lach rabbi shai. And the lach is like rabbi shai that we're making there. Vimaita nekuva, right? If it was already pierced, mishcha rav aser shmuel shari, right? So we said you can't put wax on it, but can you rub oil on it? According to rav, it's aser, according to shmuel, it's mutter. Mad aser gizrin mishum shava. The one says it's aser because you're concerned maybe you're going to come to put wax on it. Mad shari, lo gazrin. And shmuel says, no, we don't make such a gzera. Amar layer of shmuel bar rav chana le rav yosef, perush amart lan mishmei de rav, mishcha shari. And so we heard an elaboration, we heard explicitly that Rav says that putting oil on it is mutter. Amar tavut rishba amar Shmuel. So tavut the rishba, the hunter, said that Shmuel said, "Hi tirfa da asa aser." Right, that this a myrtle leaf you're not allowed to use as a spout. My time, Rav Yemar Medifti Amar Gzera Mishum Marziv, because maybe you're going to come to make a proper spigot. Rav Ashi Amar Gzera Shemiyaktum. No, we're not concerned that if you're allowed to use a myrtle leaf, you're going to come to make a proper spigot. Rather, we're concerned that you're going to cut the myrtle leaf down in order to use it as a spout on Shabbat. My Benayu Ikimayu De Katim Umanach. Right. So what's the difference between these two shitas? They both say that you're not allowed to use a myrtle leaf on Shabbat. Where one is where you cut them in advance and you just have them resting there, that there's no concern for the one who says the concern is you're going to cut them. Be Sajya. Okay, when it comes to a felt cloth, Rav Aser Shmuel Shari. So the question is whether you're allowed to, meaning these are generally used for sitting upon, but the question is, can you wear them like a cloak and then transfer them Derech Malbush, right? Because you're wearing them, so maybe you can bring them out into a public domain. Ushmuel Shari. So Rav says you're not allowed to do such a thing, and Shmuel says you're allowed to. Baraki in Dekule Amalo Plegi the Shari. Actually, everyone agrees that if they're very, very soft and it's feasible that you'd be using it for a garment, you're allowed to wear them. Ubikashi. And if they're very hard, there's probably no way you'd use it as a cloak. That's usser, right? You're not really wearing it. Keep ligi baby mitzi, right? But if it's an intermediary level of softness, where it's a little bit hard for a garment, a little bit soft for a mat, manda asser michzi kemasre. The one who says it's usser is because it looks like you're carrying a burden. Manda shari lo michzi kemasre. Or the one who says that it's allowed says it doesn't look like you're carrying a burden. V'had Rav la beferish itmar ela meklala itmar, right? And that which we learn from Rav that says that it's usser, we don't know explicitly. Rather, we kind of we inferred it from something else. The Rav ikla lehu atra, because Rav went to the following place, went to a certain place. The lo havale Ravcha nafakiyate bekarmelik, right? So they didn't have room in that place. So Rav brought in this. Rav went and sat in a Carmelite. Aiti le Beisadia, and so they saw him sitting in a Carmelite, and so they brought him a mat, right? Meaning they carried the mat into the Carmelite on their wrapping it around them. Lo yativ, and he wouldn't sit on it. Clearly, Rav holds you're not allowed to sit on it. Man dechaza savar mar, man dechaza savar mishum de Beisadia asir. And the one who saw it assumed that he must hold that you're not allowed to wear a mat like a cloak and then bring it outside private domain. Velohi, but that's actually not the case. That he did not assume properly. Rav Achruz Machriz Barisad Beisad Yashare, because Rav had announced that you're allowed to bring a mat like that. Mishum Kavod Rabotenu Loyashav Alav. He just wanted to give kavod to the rabbis there. He didn't sit on them because he would be sitting on a higher ground than the rabbanim around him, and he felt bad. Right? He wanted to give them kavod. That's why he didn't sit on it. Not because he thought it was Asir Man Niu Rav Kana Rav Asi. Right? And who are those people? That was Rav Kana and Rav Asi who were sitting directly on the ground. Rav didn't want to sit on a higher ground than them. Matnitin Kenu Mishnah Notnin Tavshil Tocha Bor Bishvil Shiyeh Shamur. Right? You're allowed to put food in a pit to keep its temperature, and you're allowed to store good water, meaning good drinking water in kind of putrid water, in order for the good water to cool down. Or you can put cool water, you can insulate cool water in hot water in order for it to heat up. And if your clothing fell in water, you can walk in them with no concern that you're going to do schita. But once you reach the outer courtyard that you can put your clothes there without risk of them being stolen, then you should lay them out in the sun for them to dry. Not where people can see, because everyone's going to think that you laundered them lechachila on Shabbat. Gemara pshita. Well, obviously, ma'udatema nigzar mishum ashva gumur kamashvelan. Isn't it obvious you're allowed to put food in a pit so that it may maintain its temperature? Yeah. Well, maybe we're concerned that you come to even out the. the holes in the ground, so that you had a havamina that maybe you'd make a gzera kamash malam, we don't make a gzera and it's allowed. But the mayim yafim b'raim, the other insulate good water and putrid water, pshita, isn't that obvious? Seifa yistrichale. No, we needed to actually just bring in this teaching for the seifa, v'tatzonim nechama, right? To teach you the one about the cool water and the hot water that's insulated. Hachaname pshita. Well, that's obvious also that you have to insulate the cold water and the hot water, ma'aratema, but what may you have said, that mean we needed to bring in this teaching to tell you, nigzur dima ati latmuni b'remetz kamash malam, right? Even though you're insulating it in hot water, we were concerned that maybe you would come to insulate it in something that would add heat, like a coal, and that's why we need to teach you that this would be mutter. We're not concerned that you're going to come to heat it up with something that would add heat, like a coal, just something that would preserve the heat. Mi shenishur, right? Someone whose clothing fell in water. Amar v'Yehuda Amar Rav, nekol makom she'asur chachamim bnei maret ayin, afilu b'chadrei chadarim asur. Wherever the chachamim said that it was asur to do something because it looks like you're doing something asur, even b'chadrei chadarim, meaning even if there's no chance that someone's going to see you, if it's asur mipshir maret ayin, it's asur to do. Tana. You're allowed to spread something out in the sun, but not in front of the people. It's actually subject to a Tanaic dispute. Right? So, how do you explain the fact that you're allowed to spread out your clothing in front of the not in front of people? If Marit Ayin exists, whether you're in front of people or not, okay, it's actually subject to a Tanaic dispute that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon said it's usher to do so, but the Tanakama says that it's mutter to do so. Okay, we're going to stop here.